This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy.
This is Patrick Johnston from Savius.
We're going to talk about the challenge that the companies have with understanding their network traffic and the user experience of what flows. We're no longer in a world where people sit in an office, we have a controlled environment, and we can tune our servers as we need to. Now, they could be anywhere on the planet, they expect the same experience as when they sit in the office. Where do we start to repair the damage that's being done by poorly behaving applications?
Oftentimes, it's the network that gets the first blame when there's a user experience that's a degradation of user experience. And as you said, Ian, you know, we're moving very rapidly away from applications sitting on owned servers, on networks that are owned networks, on end-user devices that are owned by the company where you have a very easy-to-manage environment, or at least it's very easy to have all the pieces. Now you have IoT, you have end-user devices, you have cloud applications that traffic may or may not be coming through an owned network. The applications may not be on an owned server, but the expectation from the users is the same. And so Savius has been in the network performance, network monitoring, network management, you know, mean time to repair for networks for 25 years. And we've done very well in the large enterprise, large data. Now we're looking at taking that same technology, that same tool set that we've had for many years and bringing it into the cloud and bringing it to the edge of the cloud and bringing it into the remote branch offices as well so that we can very quickly find and resolve issues.
One of the things we've done in the past is we've segmented our networks up. If I think back to the early 90s, we were putting multiple networks, one for just the servers to communicate with each other, one for certain types of users, one maybe for the management team. That enabled to keep our traffic separate. It also meant that we could dedicate that bandwidth to those specific tasks. Today, because the pipes have got much bigger, everything runs over the same pipe. How much of a challenge is it for companies to start realizing they need to go back to segmenting traffic within that large pipe rather than allowing it all to contend?
As you say, having classes of service is becoming very interesting. So that's why you see the rise of SD-WAN type companies so that you can shape traffic, VLANs within networks as well. But what we're also seeing is how do you do what we call multi-segment analysis? So that's really what we've done very well. At the heart of what we do is we capture packets and we can display those packets and very quickly by looking at the payload, by looking at the retries, the transmissions, the latency, et cetera, we can very quickly identify if it's on the same network. But now those networks are multiple networks. They're remote. There might even be a cloud virtual network. So how is it that you can take that same multi-segment analysis that we've done for years and apply that to these types of environments? And that's actually what we're setting out to do.
But what happens when you don't see that entire network? So a user working from home talking to a cloud data center, a user in a hotel room talking to a cloud data center. You don't own any of that network portion whatsoever. You might have some access to the servers because you've paid for that access. But all that rest of that traffic is outside of your visibility. Where do you get the understanding of that traffic to be able to pull that together?
One of the things that we've just demonstrated, we had a couple of webcasts in the last couple of weeks with some of our technology partners. One was with Gigamon, one with Ixia. And a lot of this network and a lot of the degradation is actually in a virtual network in a public cloud, whether it's AWS, Azure, or even a private cloud. You may not be able to see the network traffic all the way down to, say, the hotel room or the office where you're at. But as you get as many of these segments are now in the cloud, virtual networks in the cloud, and you can actually see the traffic and be able to have one of our capture engines with a virtual tap into a virtual port, and you can see how the traffic is moving around inside and get to the point where you can isolate the issues as quickly as possible. You're not going to get it all the way down to the end user, but in small branch offices, we've taken this massive capture engine that we've so well known for, where we're capturing gigabits of data at a time and putting it into very small packages like the Insight Box that we've just been announcing. And you can put that in a remote office and pull traffic that's moving around in a cloud between applications, moving in a branch office, moving into a data center, and pull all of that data together in a multi-segment analysis, get a quick view of it, and instantly, within minutes, be able to resolve an issue.
In some places, we've had the problem of people taking public networks to fire their branch offices up. So they've gone and bought ADSL or some other form of general internet. That creates some problems with security of data, security of transmission, but also it means contention issues are completely out of everybody's control. The last couple of years, however, we've seen much more dedicated lines starting to be put into branch offices by companies. And some of that simply goes back to a pop, as we've seen the bigger cloud operators, the Equinixes of this world, now build out where they're getting people to come into them. What are you seeing in the market? Are you seeing a drive towards that, or is this at the moment just early stages that we're starting to see from a press perspective, where we see the announcements, but it's not necessarily happening on the ground?
Well, as you know, we've been in this industry a long time, both of us, the hype curve is usually ahead of the adoption curve. But we see a rapid increase in SD-WAN type environments where you can have public networks but have your own private infrastructure on top of it. So you have command planes on top of a data plane. And that's an important movement. And I think we're seeing very quickly organizations, especially those that have many remote offices, moving away from their MPLS dedicated networks to SD-WAN where they have backup. What's interesting in that is now I have a virtual network that's actually sitting on top of multiple underpinnings of networks for either failover, backup, et cetera, for performance needs. And that's really where getting down to the packet capture level becomes even more important because packets don't lie. When you're tunneling multiple conversations over multiple connections, you really need to get down to the packet level to see what the real issues are. And that's what Savvius has been doing for 25 years and we're so good at.
The challenge for the user, though, is the user expects this to just work. And one of the things we're starting to see is companies finally realizing they have to rewrite their applications to put them in the cloud. The whole idea of just putting it into a virtual machine and sticking it somewhere in the internet doesn't work because we have latency issues. Applications don't really perform well when just stuck up somewhere without all the infrastructure they expect. How much of the work done by your customers is about application tuning, application shaping, and even feeding into application rewrites?
Some about application rewrites, but as far as where they're located, well, we come out of the data center, and most of our customers have their own large data centers, and they're looking at private cloud versus public cloud. So I think that's going to be the migration for most of these things, is first taking it, like you said, into a virtual machine and understanding how that affects their applications and how it understands the visibility into the performance of those applications and the virtual networks between them. And I think that'll quickly move into AWS and Azure and other types of cloud applications. But there's a comfort level with large organizations moving data into a public cloud. What we're seeing is as we start moving down into enterprise and larger SMBs and mid-level enterprises, the adoption rate for public cloud is going to be faster there. I mean, just the overwhelming need for that type of infrastructure without having to build it yourself is just too compelling. But we're seeing a rapid move in that space of the market.
Part of the drive to still having owned premises has been data sovereignty and the need for privacy. How many of your customers are looking at the whole challenge of application in one location, data in another, potentially thousands of miles away, and user just somewhere else on the globe where you have all these latency paths, all these problems of bringing it together? Are they building new architectures to manage this, or are they still looking at packet shaping and packet tuning?
Yeah, I think it depends upon the type of customer. We have customers span virtually everything from governments to aerospace to retail outlets to healthcare organizations, and they all have different needs for private security, private backups, data security, data integrity, etc. So it really depends. A lot of our insurance companies and certainly our healthcare organizations, where the long-term retention of data is very critical, and therefore the long-term security of that data is very critical. I think you'll see those types of organizations moving into a public cloud in a more deliberate way. They're not going to go there as quickly. But my retail customers, as quickly as they can. Many of them are moving some of their applications for payment processing, et cetera, into public cloud type. You'll see that with the warehouse environments where they're looking at public clouds and how do you manage data that's in a public cloud. They'll move there much faster.
Where does security figure into this? Because if we think about some of the attacks we've seen, the big denial of service attacks, a lot of companies have discovered that what they thought was an effective running network, the moment it comes under pressure, it can't cope. Our customers are looking at what works, looking at a network model, and then using that to build an alternative model when they're under attack for failover? Or are they still getting to the point of tuning that network to get the best performance out of it?
So it's both. Network tuning is one. We've just delivered a product in the last year or so called Vigil. And while for network performance and for mean time to resolution on networks, capturing the packets and being able to find whatever the issue is within those packets is a big part of our business, we now have Vigil, which is really a conditional packet capture engine. And so what that does is it makes a connection to any of the next generation firewalls that are out there, the Cisco, the Palo Altos, the Fortinets, et cetera. And then we'll capture packets based on conditions that come off of these machines. Many of our customers are moving to doing their best to have intrusion protection, next generation firewalls, but they're also coming to the conclusion that they need to be able to have some response when there is a breach. And the only way to have a real effective mitigation and resolution of the breach is to have the actual data that caused the breach. And that's what Vigil does. Captures packets around those, puts it into a place, holds it for months and months if we need to, stores it in a secure area, and then we can look at the individual breaches that came in or the individual alerts that are coming in and find those packets to find not only how did they get in, who got in, and what did they do when they got here. And we can store that data now. And that's just a different way of looking at security now.
And understanding where that data goes is also important, isn't it? Because we now have a situation where the data is often encrypted during transit, so we don't necessarily see what's inside the packet, we just know there's an encrypted stream. Some of that stream goes to locations we know. It might be going to a data center we know, it might be going to a cloud service we've authorized. But there's a lot of cloud services that the users bring into the business themselves. And mixed in with that are the bad guys exfiltrating data from our site. How far down are people beginning to drill into these packets? I don't just mean specialist security teams, I mean the network teams. Are they doing the drilling themselves or are they handing that off?
What I find is twofold. One, we work with a lot of our technology partners. So for SSL encryption, you mentioned a lot of our technology partners that do packet brokers can take SSL, decrypt it for it, dedupe it before they present it to us. So if they have the SSL keys, we can actually get that and store that data in its rich format and still maintain the integrity of the data in motion running around the networks. So you have the SSL encryption, the integrity of that data is kept on the network, but we also can keep it for further reference. The payloads that you're looking for, that's the important piece. Even if it comes in, it's encrypted. If we can store it and then look at those payloads later, oftentimes the payloads that we see in breaches are small SQL commands. They're hidden in an ARP, and there's no way you're going to find that unless you go in, open up that ARP package, look at the payload, and see it's just an SQL command that was delivered to a wrong server. But then with our product, because we have all the data, I can see the command that came in, I can see where that command went, and then I can start monitoring the server where it went to and all the connections it made after that fact, and then we can just start doing breach investigation. It's becoming very sophisticated, and without the actual data that's flowing in motion, you're never going to see it.
If we go back to the early days of breaches on networks, we had teams that did network forensics. They didn't just look at performance of networks, they looked at what was wrong. They held in enough data to be able to trace the path of an attack. Today we have so much traffic flying around that it's quite difficult for them to separate all of this out. Is there a request from customers to ask for more assistance in being able to set up network forensics?
The other thing that I find that's interesting is our traditional customer is the network experts. And what they're finding is that these security experts are just starting to understand the value of these packets. So where they're looking at breaches and they're looking at dashboards and they're basically looking for a needle in a haystack. In fact, some people even say they're looking for the needle in the needle. There's so many alerts and alarms. What we're finding is that when they get that alert and alarm, they're coming to my traditional customer in the network and they're asking them, do you have these packets from this particular date, this time? And they're becoming a service organization inside of their own company to the security folks. And that's a trend that I'm seeing more and more. And so many of our network customers who have been buying our products and using our products to do network performance, network analysis, are finding that they can store those packets and be a better customer or a better service provider inside their companies to the security folks. And we're seeing that more and more. And quite frankly, it's why we're storing more data on local drives. And one of the big initiatives we have in our company is to take that data, put it into public clouds, private clouds, so that it can be shared with the security team.
One of the big challenges coming up is going to be things like IoT. That's putting vast amounts of data on the network. We are seeing some people looking to pre-process data at the edge of the network to get rid of what they don't want to store. And that has to happen because otherwise we're just going to take down our networks around the world very quickly. At what point are you seeing that pre-filtering taking place? Is it taking place within network equipment? Is it being done using small servers put at the edge of the network where it's funneled to them before it's then retransmitted in? Are customers actually aware of the risk they have as they go ahead with their IoT strategies?
I think the events of recent times where you have DDoS attacks coming from doorbells and then cameras are starting to entering into the mindset now. And it's just not enough to put endpoint security on every device. They're becoming so large. And the same thing where the applications that are either on a public server, a private server, and a data center, you can look at the data in rest there and you can go and search for it, certainly one way. But as the virtual machines start moving around, as the data is moving from virtual storage to virtual storage, doing the encryption or doing the investigation at that point is also becoming more difficult to do. So you have millions and millions of devices being added to the network that are generating traffic. You have dozens and dozens, if not tens of thousands of applications that are moving around. The only place to really look at the security to secure the environment is when the data is in motion. So oftentimes you'll hear the analysts say, it's not a matter of somebody getting into your network or getting into your service. They're there. A breach is actually defined as when the data leaves your organization out of your control. And the only way they're going to do that is through the network. And so the only way to really secure your data, because you can't secure it as much as you want to on all these IoT devices, you're not going to be able to secure it because they're in your data center. The only way you're going to be able to secure it or even investigate it is when it's in motion. And that's what we do. We look at the data that's in motion. We capture it. Sometimes we can get it in real time. Oftentimes we're going to get it after the fact. In fact, the actual time to discover a breach is well after 2 months. It's between 2 and 9 months. And if you don't have the data from those environments, how are you going to do the brief investigation? And that's what our Vigil product is doing, is instead of capturing all the network traffic, we're capturing what we think is the most interesting network traffic by working with our partners in the next generation firewalls, IPSs, IDSs, SIMs, and capturing the data just around the most interesting events so that we can go back and look at it later on.
But how easy is it to find those interesting packets? Because the quantity of data traveling across the networks is going up almost as fast as we can put new bits of wire in. And we're putting bigger bits of wiring every time we go through a new generation. But those streams that we need to find are just becoming more and more embedded and hidden with everything else. What is it that makes it easy to locate them?
You're looking for the needle in a bunch of needles. Everybody knows that you have so many alerts and alarms that are coming off from a lot of these devices, you just don't have time to look at them all. And so what we've done really well, and we've been doing this for 25 years, is how do I discover terabytes, if not petabytes of data? How do I find the piece of data that I'm looking for? And so by collecting that and then having indexes to it, in our security product, we index it to a lot of the alerts and alarms. So oftentimes you'll find the alert that comes in is just a clue to the next alert. So you're looking through your logs, you're looking through all the events that are happening. So what we do is we map all the data associated with each one of these alerts and alarms. So I can click on an event within an IPS, IDS, next generation firewall, go right to all the data that's surrounding that event, not only the data that happened after the event, but we have a methodology where we collect the data before the event. So I can look at all the packets 5 minutes before and 5 minutes after that event and very quickly analyze, is this something that I want to look at? And then I can move on to the next event.
So it's kind of like that crash box in a car.
Exactly right. So you're talking about the black box, the forensic black box. That's exactly right.
Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Ian, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.